Side of Portland, everybody makes this show and these shows happen. Teresa Mitchell works really, really hard on her show.
And Teresa, we have a match. We've got matching.
That's right. We've got
going
a matching
on.
Grant. So when you
I
call right now,
them.
I know what well, we don't. They can't say it enough. You know.
I want you. I want three people with $5 in their bank account to call right now at 877-552-66. Three people. And I want those three people to ask for a book. For example, the Amy Goodman book, ask for that, The Silenced Majority, or the David K. Johnson book, The Perils of Our Growing Inequality. You can have that, and you can get your feet wet as a KBOO member. I think that you'll be very glad that you did. 877-500-KBOO, 877-500-5266. That's 3 minutes on the phone now. You can do that. And come on, $5. The only reason you're not doing it is procrastination.
Uh-huh. It's time to just stop that right now.
So
and you can also
you
get
now.
That 4 gig audio flash drive.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about that.
That is for a $75 minimum donation, which can also be $6.25 a month. Yeah, it's exclusive KBOO content. We've got Bill McKibben, who's really always great to hear. Our lovely Amy Goodman, Greg Palast, Raj Patel, Robert Jensen, Kathleen Dean Moore, and Thomas Lindsay. Plus many, many, many more. And we've got another 4 gig flash drive that's got things from the Monday Sampler, Life During Wartime, Ditch Digger, Moving On, some of our great KBOO shows. We've got all sorts of stuff, and this is for a $75 minimum donation, $6.25 a month, easy peasy. You can do it when you call 877-500-5266.
Need to hear that phone ringing, I think, before I go back to more content. I do have a lot more. I was talking about Ebola and how complex the situation is, and how if you take it all together, you get a very different picture of what we are faced with. I am actually personally concerned about Ebola, and it is for these reasons that I'm outlining. I am not subject to a hysterical scare. I'm just looking at what's actually happening, and I think we have cause for concern, and I will give you the details for that. I need you to call, though, and we have been holding out these tasty tidbits that we would love to give to you, and several of them are quite useful in terms of adding to your knowledge. And that's the whole purpose of me doing this show for all these years, is to try to throw a crack into what I fear is an increasingly fascist zeitgeist by adding information to people who care, and that's you. And if you do care, if you're one of those people that helps when your neighbor needs to move and you don't really have to be asked, then you're probably one of the 10% of KBOO members who is inclined to donate. That's you. You know it's you, and that's why you have to call. And you have to call now because we're right at the end of the pledge drive. This is going to be my last press watch show on this pledge drive. So if you want to get in on the matching grant, this is the time to call. Once again, the number 877-500-5266. And I did hear some rings there, so I'll now go to more content and just... Let's see, to set it up, let's see, we'll be going back out, let's say in, well, let's just go out at 39 after, and we'll raise some more funds at that time. But back to the story about Ebola. I want to, before I get into further details, once again, I want to go over that list, that partial list of, variances in the Ebola story, things you may not be aware of. First, the viability of the Ebola virus is very different on cold surfaces. We're in a cold area compared to Liberia. This is very, very significant. I can't overemphasize that. It changes the picture. The viability of the Ebola virus is different on cold surfaces. It lasts much longer. Second, mortality rates are possibly 84%. Third, press and medical establishment continue to blame their dead and dying colleagues for sloppiness rather than admitting extreme transmissibility, which is what we're observing, aren't we? I mean, look at how easily people are infected. That person who died in Dallas, as my housemate Will was pointing out earlier, he just lifted someone into a taxi. That's where he got it, as far as he knew. Fourth, official death tolls are admittedly low, but the actual estimates are sketchy and they're all over the map. We could be looking at millions of people, they say. Then that figure is attacked in the press. Fifth, Ebola attacks the immune system like AIDS. I do want to get to that detail before the top of the hour. It's a 1-2-3 punch. First, there's an AIDS-like attack. Then there's a delayed replication where it just lurks in your bloodstream. And then there's the cytokine storm, the third punch, which kills. And that's what causes the bloodiness, the hemorrhagic part of Ebola hemorrhagic fever. Sixth, the military Ebola response in Liberia is still not functioning, and hospital ships have refused to appear during the entire outbreak. They could have stopped the outbreak back in April with hospital ships. They said no. Seventh, mutation is now occurring. This particular virus has already mutated. All right, now let's turn back to Peter Piot, who, as you may know, discovered and named the Ebola virus after the Ebola River way back in 1976. As I've commented for months now, the first comments from Peter Piot were that he would be comfortable sitting next to someone who had Ebola on the subway. Well, he has changed his tune very much, and I respect that. I believe that what he said originally was not part of any conspiracy, but rather reflected the fact that the Ebola virus he knew is not the mutated and virulent virus that we are now experiencing. He was interviewed in Der Spiegel, so here's a translation. The interviewer asked, "For the first time in its history, the Ebola virus has reached metropolises such as Monrovia and Freetown. Is that the worst thing that can happen?" And Peter Piot responds, "In large cities, particularly in chaotic slums, it is virtually impossible to find those who had contact with patients, no matter how great the effort. That is why I'm so concerned about Nigeria as well. The country is home to megacities like Lagos and Port Harcourt, and if the Ebola virus lodges there and begins to spread, it would be an unimaginable catastrophe." And Spiegel asks, "Have we completely lost control of the epidemic?" He responds, "I've always been an optimist. I think that we now have no other choice than to try everything, really everything. It's good that the United States and even some other countries are finally beginning to help. But Germany or even Belgium, for example, must do a lot more. And it should be clear to all of us, this isn't just an epidemic anymore. This is a humanitarian catastrophe. We don't just need care personnel, but also logistics experts, trucks, jeeps, and foodstuffs. Such an epidemic can destabilize entire regions. I can only hope that we will be able to get it under control. I never really thought that it could get this bad." Let me just say that again. That's Peter Piot being interviewed in Der Spiegel. He said, I really never thought that it could get this bad. And Spiegel asked, "What can really be done in a situation where anyone can become infected on the streets and, like in Monrovia, even the taxis are contaminated?" He responded, "We urgently need to come up with new strategies. Currently, helpers are no longer able to care for all the patients in treatment centers, so caregivers need to teach family members who are providing care to patients on how to protect themselves from infection to the extent possible. This on-site educational work is currently the greatest challenge. Sierra Leone experimented with a 3-day curfew in an attempt to at least flatten out the infection curve a bit. At first," he said, "I thought that is totally crazy, but now I wonder why not, at least as long as these measures aren't imposed with military power." And the Der Spiegel interviewer said, "A 3-day curfew sounds a bit desperate." He responded, "Yes, it is rather medieval, but what can you do? Even in 2014, we hardly have any way to combat this virus." And Der Spiegel interviewer said, "Do you think we might be facing the beginnings of a pandemic?" And he responded, "There will certainly be Ebola patients from Africa who come to us in the hopes of receiving treatment. And they might even infect a few people here who may then die. But an outbreak in Europe or North America would be quickly brought under control." He said, "I am more worried about the many people from India who work in trade or industry in West Africa. It would only take one of them to become infected, travel to India to visit relatives during the virus incubation period, and then, once he becomes sick, go to a public hospital there. Doctors and nurses in India, too, don't often wear protective gloves. They would immediately become infected and spread the virus." Returning again to the Der Spiegel interviewer, he said, "The virus is continually changing its genetic makeup." This Peter Piot said, "The virus is continually changing its genetic makeup." Now, this is, speaking for myself, this is the discoverer of the Ebola virus telling you that it is mutating. He said, "The virus is continually changing its genetic makeup. The more people who become infected, the greater chance that becomes that it will mutate, which might speed its spread." He says, "Yes, that really is the apocalyptic scenario. Humans are actually just an accidental host for the virus and not a good one." Now I'm going to have to go back and correct myself. I'm sorry, I misspoke. I read the format wrong. And when I said the virus is continually changing its genetic makeup, and the more people who will become infected, the greater chance it becomes that it will mutate, that was the Der Spiegel interviewer. And then Peter Piot agrees, saying, "Yes, that really is the apocalyptic scenario. Humans," he says, "are actually just an accidental host for the virus and not a good one. From the perspective of a virus, it isn't desirable for its host, within which the pathogen hopes to multiply to die so quickly, it would be much better for the virus to allow us to stay alive longer. So here we have arrived at 39 minutes after the hour. And you're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. And as a press watcher, I'm trying to give you the salient information about this threat, which I believe is a terrific threat. And I'll give you more details in a minute. Why I, as a, you know, as a press watcher, I'll put it that way, as a press commentator, I think it's even worse than this person is saying. But despite the fact that it's bad news, we need you to participate. And I think that by getting out information that is not heavily tainted by government desire to control you or a corporate desire to distract you, you are well served. And thousands of people in Cascadia agree, and they have joined KBOO. I encourage you to do that as well. Membership Central now joins me. Will and Lynn are there, and they can tell you the phone number to call and what we are offering right now for those of you who will join.
Can't we just 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266 or KBOO.FM. Or come on down to 20 Southeast 8th and have a cup of coffee, get a little tour of the station, and see where your hard-earned pennies, nickels, and dimes are going. Right, Will?
That's right. I recommend that. That's how every volunteer starts, is walking in through our front door. We have the lovely receptionist Zoe with her dog Max up front, and we will give you a tour of the station. You can meet some of our wonderful volunteers. And yeah, if you call up right now, I mean, if you walk in right now, 20 Southeast 8th, that'd be awesome. We'd love to have you here, and you can pledge your support. Or if you're too busy, you can just grab the phone, dial 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. And we have a matching pledge right now. Matching pledge. So you'll double your money.
Call now. It's
a fantastic
really good time
offer.
To do it.
If you've been putting it off, now is definitely the time. Because if you donate $5 a month, that turns into $10 a month. If you donate $20, $40 a month. It's super, super, super wonderful time to call. I don't know. Super, super wonderful. Why not? Yes, it is a super, super wonderful time to call. So please grab the phone, dial 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KABOO. Isn't that right, Lynn?
That is correct, Will. And I'm going to I want to thank the restaurants who have pledged their support by feeding our hungry volunteers today. It's Petisco? Pedisco, 1411 Northeast Broadway, located in Northeast Irvington, with a rotating menu serving sandwiches, dinner, and brunch. And Biwa, which is on 215 Southeast 9th Avenue, a Japanese-style restaurant located, as with the address I just said, in Inner Southeast at 215 Southeast 9th Inner Avenue, Inner Southeast Portland. More information at biwarestaurant.com or 503-239-8830. It's time. It's time right now to support cable. Just a couple days left on our membership drive, and we know you want to support this radio station that you're listening to, that you listen to all the time. It is your connection to the community.
A vital resource.
A vital resource in this community. Someone who's talking to us like Teresa is today about Ebola, not in the hysterical faux news sense, but in with some hard facts that she is trying to impart upon you. So that
this is actually knowledge. This isn't just scare tactics.
Right, right. So come on down. If you're a news junkie and you really like the news and public affairs we have, for a $75 minimum donation, you can get a KABOO 4GB news flash drive. It's got all sorts of stuff. Bill McKibben, who we love, Greg Palast, Amy Goodman, Raj Patel, Robert Jensen, Kathleen Dean Moore, and Thomas Lindsay, plus audio from numerous KABOO hosted specials and so much more. We had a talk by David Barsamian on yesterday, I believe it was.
Oh, yeah,
and that's going to be on there as well. So it's a really great, it's fun for you, and holidays are coming up. This is a really good gift for your right-wing relatives.
It's just a small thingy. But it's like giving somebody a library, basically. It really is incredible.
Yes, a library. At $75 minimum donation, that's $6.25 a month.
Yep,
or you can get
affordable.
The Democracy Now! T-shirt, which
how cool you are.
Yes, black and white and red all over. That's $75 minimum donation, too. There's all other things. We've got books. We've got tickets. We've just got gifts for you.
The hoodie?
But the first, a hoodie.
The wicked cool hoodie.
I was hearing about people that were ordering those this morning. I heard about that back here.
And I like
the
those
Palage
flash drives. I think it'd be great to have all that audio on a flash drive.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Basically be handing somebody a library. You're buying, you're getting, for a very small pledge, you get a library and one of those flash drives. It's incredible.
Okay, thanks, y'all. Let's do this again at 49 after the hour. Let's do it at 50 after the hour. And then we'll pretty much wrap up with Membership Central. Thanks, Lynn and Will. Now, there's two points I want to make while we still have a few minutes left while you're calling in to join KBOO. And that is, as I was saying, this virus has an AIDS-like quality. It uses the same strategy. Let me give you the information from, this is actually from the Goats and Soda blog on NPR. Virologist Christopher Bassler was quoted. He said the normal job of the immune system is to eliminate infections, but when it's activated at extreme levels or when it's out of control, it becomes damaging to the host. And he's referring to the cytokine storm, the third punch. Let me tell you what the second punch is like, and that's from that same interview. Ebola tricks the immune system into launching the cytokine storm. It targets dendritic cells. During less dangerous infections, say from a cold, dendritic cells gobble up the virus and then instruct other immune cells to make antibodies tailored specifically to this particular virus. The antibodies then stick onto the virus surface and stop it from infecting more cells. That's how we clear out viruses from our blood. But Ebola is way more sophisticated than a cold. Ebola tiptoes, he writes, quietly into dendritic cells and essentially shuts off their alarm system, so the immune system doesn't know it should make antibodies to Ebola. The body is left wide open with no protection. Then Ebola starts copying itself like crazy. Multiple viruses can invade a single cell. HIV can't even do that. All hell breaks loose in the blood. The virus grows uncontrollably and infects many organs. Eventually, cells start dying and exploding. That's when the immune system goes haywire. So what we're describing here, look at those photomicrographs of the Ebola virus. It is a very long filament. It is complex, and it has this, this three-part strategy. It gets into your bloodstream. It attacks your immune system like AIDS. It hides using the suppressed immune system. And then at some point, it creates a terrific replication, even reinvading cells. And even HIV doesn't do that. And this is all from that NPR blog article. So it's the 1-2-3 punch that I'm talking about. When I say the phrase 1-2-3 punch, that's me speaking and not the article I was referring to. It's quite a sophisticated attack, and that AIDS-like quality is something to take into account. And also, as I was saying before, the fact that we now know that it can live for weeks on cooler surfaces. The difference between Liberia and the United States is cooler surfaces. And I think I'm being rather provincial, talking only about the United States. This is a worldwide threat, of course. And we do have to think like world citizens when approaching this. Now, in the press, you will also find articles like Dr. Mark Crislip being interviewed by Susanna Budman in Oregon Live. And that's worth looking at. Part of what is said in that article, quoting the doctor, he says, in the 6 months of the outbreak, there have been 7,470 cases and 3,431 deaths, not impressive for infectious disease. And departing from that text already, the stats that I've been looking at from Dr. Henry Nyman challenge those death statistics when you actually look at everyone who has been infected and what the outcome was. He says, we have more gun murders, 5,400 in the same time frame in the U.S., but in comparison, the influenza pandemic spread by coughing in 1919 infected 500 million people across the world, killed 50 to 100 million, 5% of the world's population in a year, including 625,000 Americans, about equal the total of all combat deaths in our wars. There have been over 50,000 cases of chikungunya spread by mosquitoes in the Caribbean this year, although fortunately it is not a fatal disease, fatal illness. Rabies, TB, malaria, and diarrhea all kill and infect more people each year. Ebola is awful, but not that infectious, he says. He said, viruses do not change their mode of transmission, so those that require direct contact to spread do not suddenly become airborne or learn to exist in a mosquito. He says, the reason Ebola spreads is lack of attention to basic infection control, and skipping ahead in the interview. He says, I fret a lot about infections and the potential for plagues, but not from Ebola. And this is the sort of coverage that we've seen. And what he's saying is largely true, but when he compares it with influenza, that was, of course, something that had already gone through the generative levels of existence. It had already, it was quite advanced by the time it started killing millions of people. And we were looking at Ebola as it pops up. And as I've been saying about Ebola, it has these aspects that... These seven aspects, and there are more, of course, that indicate that this is quite something to pay attention to. So here's my non-medical, unscientific press-watching prediction. Due to the size of the Ebola outbreak and the presence of swift international travel, the mathematics are already against us. We're already seeing outbreaks with several thousand people infected and dead. What will happen when we have 100,000 infected and or dead? The world will be subject to one-person outbreak after another, and each nation it appears in will be challenged to stamp it out. You saw how huge the effort was in Dallas. I mean, basically, that hospital was very severely impacted by one person. Various forms and strengths of screening are already popping up, but people are people, and there will be someone somewhere who doesn't think they're infected, who wants to get out of the danger zone, who uses an alternate national identity or what have you to evade screening. This is done all the time. This person will come to a cold climate like New York in the winter or here during a cold spell and will begin to sneeze and cough, and these pathogens will remain on the subway or bus or plane or whatever, active for weeks in the cold. This is a difference. Ebola plus winter equals greater transmissibility, and then three people will get it. And then 20 people will get it from their effluvia, and the chase will be on to quarantine each of them of us. But it won't work because it can't. And this brings in our fascist corporate state. Even with modern ultra surveillance, the sick will get sicker because most of them won't think they have worse than a mild flu at first, and thereafter they'll be in an understandable state of denial, and there isn't a quick lab test available, and even if there were, it would have to be applied in a high-level biowarfare-type isolation laboratory. So, again, I'm saying that this is because of all of these aspects that have been poorly reported and certainly not collated in the press. The picture of Ebola is much more dangerous than we have been led to believe. Time is 9:52. We have just a few minutes left to raise funds for KBOO Portland, and we are joined now by Membership Central.
Yes, you are.
We are in a matching period. I would like to suggest that you join us at the level that's appropriate for you. If you're making a living wage, get yourself a hoodie or one of the flash drives, and that's for $20 a month. For years and years, I suggested $10 a month. That's a great level to join. You could get two books for that, and we have other things that we'd like to give you for that.
But
if you
first,
would like
you've
to join us
call.
Just for
you've
yes.
You've got to dial that number, 877-500-5266. And I have a slew of people to thank. I'll start at the top of the list, and then we'll get back to letting you know how you can contribute. Don Renewed from Southeast. Kim is new from Northeast. Robin is new from Lyle. Craig renewed from Northeast Portland. Jan renewed from Salem.
Thank you all so much.
Yeah, thank you.
And Jerry from Northeast. The list goes on. We've had a really good morning. Let's keep
that
going. I don't know.
Okay, well, we wanted to thank everybody who has called up so far, and we want to thank the people who are going to call up. But you have to pick up the phone and make it happen by calling us at 877 800-500-5266.
That's right. Double your money because we're in a matching period right now, and that is that it's just good economics. Go ahead and and call 877-500-5266. Do it right now. We've got flash drives with this great 4 gigabyte flash drive for a $75 donation, $625 a month, and it's got all sorts of people. You know you love Amy Goodman, Bill McKibben, Greg Palast, Raj Patel, Robert Jensen, Kathleen Dean Moore, and all the, some great audio specials that we've had over the years.
Yeah, and also you can get the Democracy Now! T-shirt, so you can show off to people about how educated you are and how highfalutin you are, about you know what's going on in the world, and not what the cable news stations want you to believe or what the rest of the junk media wants you to believe. We're bringing you some really in-depth researched material. I know how hard Teresa Mitchell works on her show, and that's why it's such a great show. And I meet people all the time who are like, oh,
who
I
value this show. They talk about it.
They talk about how much they love Press Watch.
Absolutely.
And you can show your support for Press Watch by picking up the phone and dialing 877-500-5266.
Or go online at KBOO.FM or come on down to 20 Southeast 8th. It's always fun here. You can get a little tour of the station, have a cup of coffee,
meet
Zoe and Max at the front desk. And it's always great fun here. Come on down and see where your hard-earned pennies, nickels, and dimes go.
Yep, the money is not wasted, and you will find that out when you walk into our front door at 20 Southeast 8th, just off Burnside. We're very easy to find, and you're welcome to come in. And yeah, we'll give you a tour. You'll see how frugally we run this place, and you'll get to meet some of our lovely volunteers.
Absolutely, and now right now we've got a match. So speaking of frugality, make your money really work.
Yep.
Two for one.
Double.
877-500-5266. Support Press Wash and this amazing institution, KBOO Radio.
Please
with
consider
one leg,
bumping
you
up
can
your
hop.
Pledge.
With two legs, you can run. So double the money.
That's right. And
double
the
fun.
Yes. And consider
somebody's
upping.
Somebody's been watching 70s television.
Who might that be? As Teresa says, bump up your pledge a couple bucks. Yeah. It's not a hard thing to do. It makes a big difference to us, especially if it's on a sustaining EFT conversion and on an EFT.
The EFTs are just wonderful. I mean, that's the crowdfunding
the EFTs
that is really...
are very convenient indeed. They are super convenient. Sorry, I didn't mean to
not just
talk
convenient,
over you, Teresa.
Not just convenient, but they sustain us in on the long run.
Yeah,
it really
that's right,
works
the long
for
haul.
Us. For the long haul, it lets us know money that's coming in every month. We can budget things, and that's really important when you're a nonprofit as we are, and we have a certain amount of money to deal with, and we make that work, and you have to
we
make
stretch
it work.
It out.
Just as many people have to do. We do the same thing, so help us make this station work. 877-500-5266.
Two minutes left.
You can do it. You've got a couple minutes, and we've got a matching. Come on, people.
120 seconds. You know you can do it.
877-500-5266. 877-500-5266.
877-500-KABOO.
Absolutely. Hey, Teresa.
All right, then I'll
last words.
I'll just wrap up and thank you, Lynn and Will, so much, and thank all of you who are calling in. I really do want you to participate in the crowdfunding here at KBOO at whatever level you find is appropriate. As I said many times, I contribute either, I still haven't looked, I contribute either 20 or 25 bucks. I'm going to have to figure this out. And that would make me, I think it will actually, I'm going to get myself one of those hoodies. And so why don't you? If you're contributing 10 bucks a month now and you're doing okay, how about going up to 20 bucks a month and getting yourself a hoodie? I think you'll be glad that you did. Now, I've been talking about the mess in the press when it comes to Ebola and how you can get an entirely different picture of what is going on by trying to collate the facts. Here's an article from the Washington Post, which kind of brings it together in a backwards way. It's quoting a CDC researcher. He says, suggestions that the Ebola virus could mutate into a form that is transmissible by the respiratory route are speculative, and the likelihood of it happening is low. He's absolutely right, and he's also absolutely beating the wrong drum. I really don't give a damn whether it's transmissible by the respiratory route when it's very clear that it's powerfully contagious by whatever route it's using right now. And further down, it says that Ebola is not spread through respiratory transmission. Obviously, that's correct, I say in my non-scientific, non-medical information way. He says, in which people can be affected through inhalation or direct contact through the eyes, nose, or mouth from the virus present in large droplets or smaller airborne particles. What? filovirus in a large droplet. After I was just saying, it has been determined that it lives on surfaces for weeks in cooler weather. He's saying that it can't be transmitted by a sneeze. Nonsense. That's nonsense. And not knowing medical science, I'm not qualified to have the final word on this. But all I'm saying is, look at what's actually happening. And try to bring it all together. And we will continue to try to bring it all together for you here at KBOO News and Public Affairs. Coming up, Chris Andre. And I believe you will want to tune in at 5 o'clock today to find out what's happening in the latest in St. Louis, sorry to say. So we're going out to you, to all the ships at sea.
Yes, 1 minute before 10 o'clock, you are listening to KBOO Portland. It is our pledge drive, and we'll get back to that in a bit. We've also got flashpoints in 15 minutes, today featuring a report on Mumia Abu-Jamal's commencement address at Goddard College. Join us at 11 o'clock for Between the Covers. Today we speak with Portland author Peyton Marshall about her debut novel, Good House. Marshall is a former member of the all-female punk band Third Sex. And then at 11:30, Words and Pictures welcomes the writing and illustrating team behind the comics-oriented guidebook Clusters and Your Economy, which examines collaborative communities from Renaissance Florence to California's Silicon Valley. But up next, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre, right after this.
Join us for our monthly movie event, KBOO at the Clinton. This month, on October 9th, KBOO will host a screening of The U.S. vs. John Lennon, a 2006 documentary film about John Lennon and his transformation from Beatle to anti-war activist and the repression he faced because of his political activities. That's KBOO at the Clinton with The U.S. vs. John Lennon on Thursday, October 9th at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.